Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Just to do what he wants you to do. Amen. Glory to God. I mean, it brought tears to my eyes. I'm going to tell you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel all right. I'm Amen. Getting rejuvenated. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
I'm getting restored. I'm getting revived. My God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, when I got up this morning, I wasn't feeling the best. But I thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pressed my way into this studio today. Hallelujah. I want somebody to hear my testimony that God is pulling me through. I thank him for it on today. Apostle G, hallelujah.
Amen, amen. Today we're going to look at the Gospel of St. John, chapter 4. I'm quite sure everyone has read and studied and preached and taught from this particular passage of scripture. We're going to focus, look at verse 21 through 24. We all know that this is the story concerning the woman at the well. But as Pastor R was talking this morning, and as she was sharing how the Spirit had been sharing with her, worship, not works. Amen. And begin to talk about worship compared to works. And I said, let me go a little bit further into that. And if you look at that 21st verse, it says, Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And this was the revelation that Jesus Christ was giving the woman at the well. He say, not only is the time coming, but the time is now where you're not going to be so much concerned about worshiping me in your great cathedrals and in the synagogues, but you're going to be able to worship me in spirit and in truth, in your hearts, in your spirits, in your mind, meaning anywhere that you are, you'll be able to lift up your hands. You'll be able to lift up your voice and begin to worship God, begin to praise God with no condemnation, because you are not confined to four walls anymore. You're not confined to a sanctuary anymore. Even though I know the word says, fail not to assemble yourselves together with your brethren. Amen. That means we must attend normal worship service. Amen. We must have a local church home. We must have a local church body. But he's telling us that so many of us are caught up in works, what we're doing. We get so busy. We say, God told me to do this, and God told me to do that, and God instructed me to do this, and God instructed me to do that. And we're so caught up in the works of the kingdom. We're so caught up in our everyday lives that we're failing to worship him. A lot of us, we choose the works over worship because it makes us look big. It makes us look like we got everything together. It makes us look like we got all this going on. We got this big ministry over here, and this part of the outreach is big, and that part of the outreach is huge, and that part of the outreach is booming, and that part of the outreach is getting ready to blow up. But we are missing the worship. We are missing the love. We are missing the compassion. And Jesus was letting the woman at the well know, say, hey, it's going to come a day, and the day is now, as you're standing before me, that it is time to worship me in spirit and in truth, meaning that your heart must turn unto me. Your spirit must turn unto me. Your mind, your emotions, everything about you must turn to me in worship and in praise. There is something about worship. There is something about praise that can change every situation, that can change every circumstance. Praise and worship can do what no other power can do. The Bible says that King Jehoshaphat, he sent out Judah first. He sent out the praisers first. He sent out the worshipers first. And as they praise God and as they worship God, the Bible records that their enemy turned on themselves and destroyed one another. What are you saying, preacher? The same enemy that was coming to destroy them, because King Jehoshaphat was tuned up right in the spirit, he sent out the tribe of Judah first. He sent out praise first. He sent out worship first. He didn't go into battle without praising God first. He did not go into battle without worshiping God first. And as he sent out praise, as he sent out worship, the enemy turned on themselves and they destroyed one another. And all Israel had to do was just praise God. All Israel had to do was just worship God. They didn't even have to fight. I heard somebody preach that say, just show up. All you need to do is show up and let the Lord fight your battle. But the way he is going to fight your battle in this hour is through our praise, is through our worship. Because in that praise, in that worship, in that secret place, in that intimate place with the Holy Ghost. My. We was in a conversation and somebody was saying, nobody never taught me how to worship. Nobody never taught me how to praise. Hallelujah. You can read the word. You can study the word. But until you come boldly before the throne of grace and you become very intimate with God, you become very intimate. You lay everything on the altar before him. You just say, Lord, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Until you get to that place, that place of brokenness in the spirit, that place of brokenness on the altar, until you lay your wounded, tired, distressed body on the altar and worship him and praise him and cry out in travail, cry out in mourning, call yourself a fast, call yourself a shut-in, and lay before God and cry and pray and intercede and watch how things change on your behalf. Things that look like they will never change. Things that look like will never work out for your behalf and on your behalf. They will through praise and worship. I've watched God. You know, it's funny how God do things. A lot of times we have enemies on our jobs and we pray that God remove those enemies, and we have no idea how he's going to move those enemies. I never thought that God would give someone a promotion to get them away from me, but he did. I never thought God would give someone a promotion, but when you pray and you worship and you fast, and you ask God to move your enemies out of your way, however he move your enemies, he is going to move your enemies. Now, isn't it ironic when he gives your enemy a promotion for them to hold that position for so many months, and then the company dissolves that position altogether, and then they find themselves without a job, or they find themselves lower than you on the totem pole in the workforce. When you pray, when you praise, when you worship, God will move on your behalf. And the way he moves, sometimes it will astound you. Apostle R, what golden nuggets you have to say about worship, not works?
Praise God. As I read this particular scripture talking about what we call the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman that came and met up with Jesus while he was resting on his journey. They begin to talk. And Jesus asked her for a drink originally. And she began to tell him that you have nothing to draw with. And the well is deep. How then can you provide living water? After he told her that if she knew who she was really talking to, if you had only known and had recognized God's gift and who this is that's saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him instead, and he would have given you living water. I'm reading from the Amplified Classified Bible. It says in verse 11, John chapter 4, she said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, no drawing bucket, and the well is deep. How then can you provide living water? Where do you get your living water? Are you greater than and superior to our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well and who used to drink from it himself? And his sons and his cattle too? Jesus answered her, all who drink of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever takes a drink of the water that I will give shall never, no, never be thirsty anymore. But the water that I will give him shall become a spring of water, welling up, flowing, bubbling continually within him until into and for eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I may never get thirsty nor have to come continually all the way here to draw. And I want to say right here at this verse 15, thinking about the conversation that we had with the woman at church today who was saying, I want this. I want it. She said, I've been going to church for 15 years and nobody has talked to me about worship. I just couldn't understand that. I just couldn't believe it. She said, I want to know about worship. I want to know how to worship. I don't know. I want to know how to pray. Nobody even taught me how to pray. And I'm like, Jesus, hallelujah. I don't know what we got going on in the midst of the body of Christ. I just know what the Spirit of God is saying in this moment. He's saying not works, but worship. Not works, worship.
Yes,
we do a lot of things. Like this woman is saying in verse 15, I put forth the effort to come to this well to get me a drink. I come often because I'm thirsty again and again. And you're telling me, Jesus, that I don't have to thirst anymore if I take of this water that you give me. I want this water. So he began to talk to her about her life. Hmm. He said, okay, you want this water? You don't want to thirst anymore? You want to get rid of the work, put the works aside so you can have this water? That's what we got to do in this hour. We got to put these works aside. What we feel is so important to be done, that's taking up our time.
Yes.
That's taking up our energy. We need to put this stuff aside. Put it secondary to worship.
My, my, my.
The word worship in the Greek here is talking about being stirred. totally submitted to God, totally submitted in spirit and in truth, totally submitted. David, King David said that God desires in Psalm 51, truth in the inward parts. The inward parts is our spirit. The inward part is that invisible part of us that is who we are, the very essence of who we are. And so this woman needed to worship God in spirit and truth, not through putting works, going to the mountain or going to a specific place. No, 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 no. On the inward parts of her, in the inward parts of her, in that part of her that connects, that invisible part of us. Because the Bible says that God is a spirit. And that's the reason we've got to worship him in spirit and truth. He's a spirit. He doesn't connect with flesh. He doesn't connect with carnal thinking. He doesn't connect with those things that are sinful, those things that separate us. He doesn't connect with our human thoughts. No, we need to connect with the Spirit of God through the Spirit, through truth, reality, who he really is. It says that we need to know him. We need to understand him, and then we can be genuine worshipers. That's who he's looking for. That's who God is seeking after. He's seeking after genuine, true worshipers, those that will submit themselves totally unto him. You know, I want to just say the word submission here is just a melting into one. A melting into one. When we submit ourselves and begin to truly worship God, we melt into him as one person. And what power of worship and praise that is in him becomes ours. We began to possess. And as I explained these things to her, she said she had never heard it that way. And she wants that oneness. She wants that submittedness unto God. She wants what he has to offer. Just like the woman at the well. She was thirsty. This woman today at church was thirsty.
Yes.
She was not satisfied in herself. When we're thirsty, we're not satisfied. We need a filling. We need, hallelujah, to be fulfilled within us, within our spirit.
Right now.
So, Father, right now,
saturation.
We need your saturation. God bless you.
And remember that today is another day of miracles.
To release your power when pressure comes, I must soak up your spirit like a sponge. To release your
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
I want
Good afternoon. It's time for Living the Good Life right here on TantalkNetwork.com. And Living the Good Life is the show from Beacon of Hope Ministries that we have had now for the last almost 12 years. And with me on the air today is that famous Dr. Angel Falzone. Where would they hear you other time during the week here, Dr. Angel?
Well, we are here on this station.
That means you and me.
Yes, we. Yes, we are here on this station Thursday nights at 6:06 p.m. for Go Yard, which is our life coaching show.
What do we do on that show?
We talk about...
I'm untangling my headphone cord here while you're talking.
No worries. We talk about living life and living life well, and we try to give our listeners great tools for them to get through the bumps of life.
Why would someone want to listen to that show?
They would want to lift them because we all hit bumps in life, and sometimes we just need a little hand up and a couple great ideas to get us through.
Right. So we just finished a series on setting proper boundaries in our lives. What are we doing now? Well, we're not sure what we're doing now.
No, we're not sure what we're doing now.
I ask you a question, and I know the answer to it. Not sure.
Well, then we just finished a show on when we hit those plateaus in life, you know, when we all hit those plateaus. We feel like we're not making that headway, and we just get stuck, and how to get through that time.
How to get through it, because those are difficult times for all of us when we get stuck in a rut, so to speak. We did a show on that last Thursday night, so you can go right here to TantalkNetwork.com. There will be a podcast tab. Touch that podcast tab, open that up, and the first thing that opens up is going to be, you'll see a little blue link to Internet Pros. Click that, and then it will open up all the list of all the shows here at Tantalk Network, and there's a lot of them. And you will be able to get in there and listen to a lot of our shows. And you can listen to that series. You can listen to a lot of our recent shows. And then talk about our website before you turn down the air conditioning.
Okay, well, our website, goyard2014.org, is where we have all of our shows for almost the past 5 years. They have a title to them. So if you're looking for something specific like parenting help or dealing with a difficult teen or relationship or anxiety or depression, you can find it there on our website. Again, that's goyard2014.org.
Yeah, and, you know, why would somebody want to do that, Dr. Angel? Why would they want to go and look up our website or listen to the podcast here? Why?
Well, when you look up on our website, you can find help exactly for what you're looking for. And so it's a great tool. Lots of good free stuff. Almost 5 years of shows on that tool for people to access.
And again, free, no cost, right?
Yes.
So, you know, we encourage people to look that up. We're also very excited right now at Beacon of Hope Ministries, which also includes you and your private practice, which you are going into. And I'm going to give people your phone number in just a minute. How about that? I'm going to give your phone number out.
All right.
All right. It is 727-501-6557. And why would they want to call you, Dr. Angel?
Well, I am going into private practice. I'm a PhD in psychology and a licensed mental health counselor, and I'm serving children, teens, adults, couples, and families.
There you go, with counseling. And because of that, we have entered into a new lease, and you will actually be opening your practice May 1st. Okay, May the 1. All right, May 1st, your counseling practice there. You're also going to do a lot of trainings for counselors. You're going to be doing a lot of that. Why is that stuff so important? And what is just tell us your vision here before we start this new first song.
Well, you know, my vision is all about helping people live life with purpose and passion. And, you know, the counseling practice is really about helping people through their mental health issues or their needs or whatever's going on, the conflicts that they have. As well as I work very hard to train ongoing mental health professionals with their continuing education. And I also supervise upcoming mental health professions as they are working towards their licensure.
Wow. That's a whole lot that you just said. You realize that, right?
Yes.
Okay. So if you want information or if you want to talk to Dr. Angel and set an appointment for her private practice that begins May 1st, call her at 727-501-6557. 6557, right?
Yes.
Yes. Also, along with that amazing new practice beginning, Beacon of Hope is moving into a new facility. Actually, the same facility that you're in, going to be in, and you will be in the front, and we will be the rest of the building. And we're excited about that as growth is happening at Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we're looking forward to this new day with a new location and room for more people. We'd outgrown where we are right now, and it's time to expand again. Well, I love the way God just broadens our stakes, you know, opens the territory taking time. That's what this is, expansion time, right?
Yes, absolutely. And it's exciting to watch the growth happen and being a part of it.
Oh, it is, isn't it? And so we got to start today with that song, Every Praise is to Our God, Hezekiah Walker.
Love it.
And it did, that's not it. Hang on. And that's because I was talking and chewing gum at the same time. Actually, not chewing gum. That's just, I'm just teasing. Here we go. Every praise.
Woo! Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy never fails. His love never fails. Come on, let's make a joyful noise unto the Savior. Let's give him all our praise, all our worship.
God, my Savior, God, my healer, God, my deliverer. That's who he is. Oh, mighty God. I love that song. Every praise. That was not Hezekiah Walker. I didn't realize that the CD I had did not have him on it, but that is the song he made famous. I think he wrote it. And what a cool song, because it reminds us that every praise is to our God, and he's still our healer. He's still the one that works our miracles in our lives because he loves us so much. And today, Dr. Angel, and then Betty will come on here pretty soon, we're going to talk about the nature of God. We're still in Mark. We're in a series that we started a few weeks ago called Alive Forevermore. The God we serve is alive forevermore.
Oh, yes,
there is
he
no
is.
Death. I
yes.
mean, the death was so temporary. Before he was raised from the dead, it was really 3 days and three nights, just as was prophesied. And that's as long as death had reign over him. And he came out of that tomb, a risen Lord. We're going to celebrate it on April 21st, Resurrection Day. Some people call it Easter. Can't wait. That's going to be a great show and a great, actually, 12-year anniversary for this show on that very day.
Awesome.
So pretty cool. So with all of that said, we're talking about Jesus in the book of Mark, and we're in chapter 5. The power of Almighty God, that he is alive forevermore, that he does have power over everything.
Yes.
And all of us. And the weather, I just feel led to start with this. At the end of chapter 4, in verse 35 of Mark chapter 4, later that day, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let's go across to the other side." They took him in the boat as he was. In other words, he didn't go home and get a shower and pack or anything. They just decided to go across to the other side of the lake. Other boats came along. And as, of course, they didn't have AccuWeather on their cell phones, right, Dr. Angel? No AccuWeather?
No.
A huge storm came up. Waves poured into the boat, threatening to sink it. You know, a lot of times it seems like we have these huge storms. This is for somebody out there. I don't know who you are. This is not where I intended to start the show, so there's a reason why we're starting right here for someone. There are so many times in our lives that we have these huge storms that come up, things that we absolutely cannot fix, things that seem to be beyond our control. I would imagine for these disciples in that boat, this felt very, very scary, like we are going down. In fact, it says they thought they were going to die, didn't they?
Yes.
It says right here.
Yes.
And so when you see this, it says a huge storm came up, waves poured into the boat. Now, I've been in storm in a kayak once, and it's not a pretty thing to have happen. And I was bashed into a bunch of rocks many years ago, and it was difficult. It was really hard to get even my kayak to the shore that I could get out of it because the storm came up just suddenly. And it said they were threatening to sink, and Jesus was in the stern, head on a pillow, sleeping. Oh, like a lot. He cared a lot about this, right?
How can you be? I was always amazed that he could be sleeping in the middle of a storm, you know.
He could have been, like, playing possum.
Maybe.
Like, he really wasn't asleep. But it says he was sleeping. But, you know, he could sleep because he knew he had mastery over the weather, correct?
Yes.
He knew. And, you know, so many times we get so caught off guard and we panic like the disciples did here. You're saying, well, wait a minute, that's legitimate. Yeah, it is legitimate. When you've got water pouring into the boat and you think you're about to die, that's a legitimate concern, don't you think, Dr. Angel?
Oh, yes, very much.
You want to talk about this?
Well, you know, I think a lot of times when we're going through circumstances, you know, we can see the moment and what's going on, and there are things that they get overwhelming. They feel like they are so big, and they take so much of our energy and our thoughts and our time, and they are beyond our control. And we feel like we get stuck, or how are we going to get through this? And that's where, like, fear and all that starts to take over for us.
Well, not only that, when fear comes and anxiety comes and panic, the devil is right there to say, oh, you know, you're not going to make it out of this alive. You're going to die, right?
Oh, yes. He likes to help feed those thoughts that it's our doom and gloom.
Yeah, it is. And that's how these guys felt. But think about it. If you can picture it, because I've been swamped in a little boat a few years back, not just the kayak, but another time back in 1992, with a friend and my two of my children out here in the intercoastal in a big boat, what we call down here a cigarette boat, cut right in front of our little 14-foot boat. It was not very big. It was a little six-passenger bow, you know, bow rider. It was just a little tiny boat. And this guy, they were doing this to little boats. I didn't know that at the time. And I look up, and I'm driving, and I look up and see the waves coming over the top. And you talk about an awful feeling, Angel.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
I mean, and it flipped us over.
Oh, wow.
And we were grabbing onto things, and my friend said, let go of the chairs, let go of everything, just swim, you know. And fortunately, within a minute or two, there was a boat nearby, and they came right over and rescued my kids and my friend and I. And but it was a very scary thing because our boat was upside down now.
Wow.
There was no getting back in it either. And when you see a wave of water coming at you, I can see how these, since I've lived through it, I can see how these guys were panicked.
Oh, yes.
You know? And so they wake Jesus up, and he's awake now. And I'm in verse 39 of Mark 4, if you're just joining us. And he told the wind to pipe down, it says in the Message Bible. And he said to the sea, quiet, settle down. Whoa. The wind ran out of breath. I love that. The sea became smooth as glass. Oh, it wasn't that it just got a little better. It got perfect. The sea was as smooth as glass after a storm that is so bad that it's threatening to capsize that boat. And Jesus reprimanded the disciples, why are you such cowards? Don't you have any faith at all? And they were absolutely in awe. They were staggered. They said, who is this anyway? They asked, wind and sea at his beck and call. Talk to us, Dr. Angel. This story, I love it.
I love this story, too, because, you know, it just the power, you know, that God has and that he is willing to calm that storm just like that. Instantly, he calmed that storm for them. And it complete as glass. I mean, wow. I mean, seas roaring. I mean, I do a lot of boating, too. And what to just even imagine how that went so calm. And why are you so afraid? In my version, it talks about why are you so afraid, you know, and recognizing their fear, like the personal feelings we have, like God cares about our feelings.
Well, don't you find it interesting that he asked them why they were afraid? I would have probably been thinking in my head if I were one of those disciples, duh.
Yeah, why aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, what's wrong with you that you're not afraid?
Absolutely.
I mean, but why wasn't he afraid?
Because he knew he knew.
He knew he had the control over the storm. He knew he had it. And, you know, guys, I think so often when we run to Jesus with our problems and our anxieties and our panic, he really wants us to understand that he's not panicked about it. There's no surprises with God. There are none. There are no surprises with God. I want to say that over and over again. God knows what you are going through today, my friend. God knows. He understands. He sees it. He is not shocked. He can sleep in the boat while you're going down for the last count under a great big wave of water. Talk to us, Angel.
You know, you're right, and there are no surprises. And, you know, for us, a lot of times I think we get these storms that hit us in life, usually like right after something great has happened or we've seen, you know, we're over our hump or we've experienced a lot of positive things. And then, like, all of a sudden the storm seems to come out of, like, nowhere. And then we forget about the great thing that just happened or what we've gotten, you know, what we've made it through. And now we're focused on this storm that seems to be overtaking everything in our world.
Right.
And, you know, the fact that he knew that this storm was coming when the great thing was happening. And we only get to see little specks of the vision. We see what's in front of us, you know, in our lives. We don't get to see the whole picture. And I am grateful for that because I would probably be very afraid if I was to see the whole picture from beginning to end of what God has for my life or, you know, anyone else's. And so that he empathizes with our human emotions and he is not surprised. He's got this.
Right. Absolutely. He's got it. And why does he allow these things, Dr. Angel?
Wow.
Oh.
That's a, like, the big question there. I think he allows these things for a few reasons. One, to grow our faith.
Right.
and two, for others to see his work in our life, for him to be glorified.
Right, absolutely. And I said this today, it's a quote from Graham Cook, one of the most wonderful authors that I've ever encountered. I think he's amazing. He said that God allows in his wisdom what he could easily prevent by his power. You could look at this story, and that sentence works. He allowed the storm. He could have just said to the wind, clear back when they got in the boat. Now, no problems today. Wind, just be calm. We're going to the other side. He allows, God allows in his wisdom what he could easily prevent by his power. Talk to me about that.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, there's multiple reasons for that. I mean, we would never grow our faith if we didn't have to have faith.
Exactly.
You know, and it matures us. It helps us grow. It helps us learn to trust God in a whole new way.
It sure
does. Up to this point, the disciples haven't had that experience of trusting God with the weather, you know, and now they know he's got that too.
Right. He's got that. Well, yeah, had he not allowed the trial there, had he not allowed this near-death experience, disciples would not have learned that Jesus had that kind of power.
Absolutely.
Right.
And they learned that one firsthand. And, you know, when you learn something firsthand, you really learn it.
And there's so many times in our lives where we don't know that God is going to pull us through something. But the older we get, the more we walk with the Lord, the more we have these difficult times in our lives where it does not look good. Nothing's looking good here. And yet God pulls us out in the nick of time. I love his timing, don't you?
It's always perfect.
Yeah.
And by perfect, it means perfect from his view, not our view.
Right.
You know, a lot of times we want it here, or we want it now, or we think we know the timing, but his timing is so perfect.
Right. It is. It's always perfect. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Praise God. So he knew exactly what he was doing here, didn't
he? Yes.
And he allowed this because it's going to be a growth experience for the disciples, right?
Yes.
Betty, you just joining us. How are you, dear?
Hey, I'm doing good. Just a little rushed, but, you know, God's on the move.
All right. I don't know if you heard the beginning part. We've been talking about the end of Mark 4, about the storm that came up, and the disciples thought they were dying. And, you know, Jesus woke up after they roused him, and he calmed the storm. And basically, I don't know if you just heard what I just quoted, Graham Cook saying, God allows in his wisdom what he could easily prevent by his power. He could change things so things don't ever, anything ever bad ever happens to us. But that's not the way God works. Talk to us about that, Betty. It's all growing time, isn't it?
Yes, yes, it is. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to fathom. Why am I going through this? What, God, what are you trying to teach me? And there's a quote many, many weeks ago that says, sometimes during our tests, teacher silence, and it gives us perseverance. It keeps us focused on him. We have this horizontal and we have a vertical relationship. My vertical relationship is with God, and when he tries to show us things, again, we talked about this many months ago, timing.
Exactly.
You know, sometimes God's timing is
not
what ours is.
Right.
But he always has, don't you think he always has a better plan for us? He has he has something greater. He has something bigger where, you know, we take the small pittance of certain things and God's going, why don't you set that small pittance down and let me show you what I can do. Let me show you my blessing.
Amen.
And it's just, again, it's, sometimes, you know, we have to be in the hallway for a while before he opens that door.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, going on into Mark chapter 5, the first story there is they arrive at the other side of the sea, and they've just had this crazy weather thing, and they get out of the boat, and there is a man there who is totally demon-possessed and is raging. And people could not even tie him down. They couldn't chain him down because he had so many demonic spirits in him. He had been tied up with chains and ropes, but he always broke out. and no one was strong enough to even tame him. And he roamed through the gravesite at night. You talk about a really scary situation. You mean they just got out of the boat and they've almost died, and now they land here where the madman is at the cemetery? Angel, I don't know about you, but it's like that's a really bad day.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
Like if one thing could go wrong, well, look at this. Now we got two or three. But again, these are lessons to the disciples that Jesus has power over demonic spirits, not just the weather. And actually, we are bringing all these things around today to a discussion of kindness. Now, how about that? You say, what? What? You're talking about a storm that is raging, that people are almost dying. Now you're talking about a madman in a cemetery who's trying to kill people and is crazy and is running around naked and all this other stuff. And Jesus simply uses this opportunity in Mark chapter 5, verse 6. When this guy sees Jesus a long way off, he runs and bows down and worship before him. And then he says, what business do you have, Jesus, Son of the Most High God, messing with me? Don't give me a hard time. And so what that was not the man. It was this demon speaking through the guy, because demons know Jesus and they know God's workers, deliverance ministers. I find this fascinating. And all Jesus said here in verse 8 of Mark 5 is, out, get out of the man. And then he asked him his name. In some translations, it says legion. In this one, it says mob. In other words, he had a whole bunch of junk in him. And Jesus just had to say the word, get out. Talk to us about that, Betty, because you've gone through deliverance ministry with me, with people, have you not?
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, some people would think, oh, how could you do that? There's a certain Holy Spirit that raises up in you and calms you, it gives you peace, but yet you have the strength in the spirit to be able to face them with no regrets. There's no fear.
Right.
There is nothing that, you know, I mean, you can stand and look him in the face, and we had one just tell him what his name was. His name was Legion.
Right.
And it's like, okay, you know, my God is bigger than anything that we face, you know, like we do in deliverance. There is nothing that can stand against the name of Jesus.
Amen.
They think they can, but then once they flee, they have to flee in the name of Jesus. They have to. And we have to realize, Pastor and Angel, that the same power Jesus had to say to that demon and that man, out, come out. We have that same power within us. And I, you know how I get kind of loud.
Yeah, you're kind of crazy, Betty Thomas.
Like some other people that I know.
Uh-huh.
It's not Angel.
Yeah, it is Angel, too. She's like that, too.
I'm going to see her wild one day.
Uh-huh. You'll see her wild.
You know, it gets to the point where you have so much, I'm going to call it power.
Right.
The Holy Spirit just wells up in you, and it's just like a mighty, it's like a waterfall. It's like a mighty rushing river. You just have so much power, and sometimes you just cannot contain it, and it comes out forceful. You know, and I would say we can be pretty vocal,
uh-huh.
But it's like, God, don't mess with God's people.
Right.
Because there's going to be somebody who's going to recognize you. It's going to have a discernment of spirits, which means they can recognize what's going on.
Right.
And you ain't going to have them no longer, because you're going to be delivered and you're going to be set free.
Amen. And the good news of this is that Jesus is still delivering today. Clear back 35 years ago, I guess, I don't know, early 80s, yeah, as I opened my Christian bookstore in Indiana, people were coming in and they would stand over in a corner and they'd start to cry and they would start wanting to talk and whatever. Eventually, I was carrying so many books then that were Derek Prince and Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland and Marilyn Hickey and really good teachers of the word that believed in doing deliverance ministry. And I began to study everything I could get my hands on. And from that began a deliverance ministry and then later a church. And I can honestly tell you, I've been the part of doing deliverance on hundreds of people. And I can tell you that the same power that Jesus talks about in Luke 10:19, where he says, I have given you power and authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any way harm you. We have that today if we decide to walk in it. Listen to this, and we're going to get back to more discussion here. If you just joined us, we're in Mark chapter 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never. Worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord.
Praise God. We worship your holy name.
Yes, I will worship your holy name.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Lord, I worship your holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. You know, no matter what we're going through, dear listeners, no matter how difficult it might be, it may not be something as bad as a storm at the end of Mark chapter 4 that we discussed. It might not be something as bad as having to deal with somebody who's got demonic oppression. But no matter what was going on in our lives, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. I bless his holy name. And why do we do that, Angel, no matter what the circumstances are we are facing? Why do we do that?
Well, every praise belongs to him. And, woo! You know, as the praises go up, the glory comes down.
Oh, that's good. We can quote that. There you go. Betty talked to us about that because, you know, a deliverance, having authority over demonic spirits, is nothing to be afraid of. Okay? You know, the three of us understand that. We have been through deliverance ministry. We understand it. We've done it and prayed over different people. We get it. Some of our audience may say, demons, are demons real? Yeah, demons are real. Jesus talks about them a lot. In fact, this situation in Mark 5 right here shows us the complete authority that Jesus has and that by extension we have, according to Luke 10:19, over all the power of the enemy, Luke 10:19, and nothing shall in any way harm you. Betty, talk to us. That's pretty good news, isn't it? That's kind news. We're talking about kindness today. That's kind of kind news, isn't it? Why is it?
It is because it's the truth.
True.
I mean, it gets pretty simplistic, but once you remember that God inhabits, he loves to hear his people praise him. We praise him in the good times, but we also have to praise him in those very difficult times. And God is love. God is an ever-present help in time of need. So once we begin to realize just how important praising is and how important God's love is, his kindness, his mercy, his grace, it all comes together. It all points to one person, and that's Jesus Christ.
Oh, amen. And, you know, when we really begin to understand that we have this authority that's God-given, Luke 10:19, if you got a pen, write that verse down. That's a life-changing verse because Jesus said, I have given you, that's all of us, authority and power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. And in the original Greek, that meant evil words and evil actions. Amen. You know, and sometimes people can be really mean. Sometimes people can say really mean things and can come at you for being a Christian or for being kind of crazy like some of us around Beacon of Hope that believe in deliverance ministry, that believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We are charismatic, which means that's what that means. Full gospel. You know, we believe the whole thing, right? Full gospel. And we know that we have power and authority to tread on anything the devil throws at us. And the devil tries to come to our minds and say, oh, no, you don't have that kind of power. Just pastors or teachers or evangelists, just the great preachers of the century, they're the ones that have power and authority over demonic spirits or over sickness or over wind. Talk to us, Angel.
Wow. Yes. No, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we firmly believe that. And, you know, just as there were demons back in the Bible, they did not go away. They weren't just there for that time when Jesus walked the earth. There is a spiritual realm, and we have to recognize that there is a spiritual realm and be willing to get into that spiritual battle.
Absolutely. And not be afraid of it, mm-hmm. right? Because the good news is we do have that power and authority. Okay. The good news is in the kindness of God, he says to us, yeah, this stuff's out there because you have to learn to fight your battles. Okay. You have to learn to be strong in the word. You have to learn to appropriate your promises. Talk to me about that, Angel, because that's a kind nature of our Heavenly Father that he allows these things. I go back to Graham Cook's quote, God allows in his wisdom what he could so easily prevent by his power, right?
Yes. And it is a kindness because it's him developing us to everything that we can be, our fullness
right.
of what we are to be in him. You know, And we wouldn't be able to develop without going through challenges and difficulties, because we wouldn't have a need to develop. And so that's his kindness of him bringing us more to like him. Right. And he gives us the authority to deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to have somebody as a go-between, or, you know, he gives us that authority.
He does. You know, it's like when little kids begin to walk, and we just went through that last year with my 11th grandchild, little Joel Chase. And when he began to walk, he fell down a whole lot, you know. Now, his mommy and daddy, when it really hurt and he was crying, they picked him up and, hey, y'all, you're okay. But they never said, no, we're going to put you back in your bassinet. We don't want you to learn to walk. We want just to protect you, that so that you never bump your head again. Talk to us, Betty, Grandmother Betty, just like me, grandmother now of 12. Hey, you know what? Kids have to fall. That's how they learn to walk.
Well, it is, and, you know, it's a step-by-step process with kids, as y'all know. You know, they have to crawl before they walk. You know, they have to be able to walk before they run. They have to be able to, you have to help them through, and you have to have someone, usually someone who loves them so much, like Jesus loves us, and we love our kids, I love our grandkids. But you let them have their space, but yet you're there to protect them if they fall. And that's where his love and his kindness comes in, is that sometimes, you know, when we fall, we get back up. But what happens is that we have that protection around us, is that, you know, God, you know, we have to be in the Word. We have to be faced up. We have to be able to withstand some of the things of life that can knock us down. But what knocks us down, once we get back up, God's love, God's kindness, it keeps us strong. It keeps our wounds from being so deep that we can't recover. But, you know, right. The Band-Aid, you know, God's Word,
yes.
Praising Him,
yes.
Praying,
right.
Those are like the antibiotics,
right.
Or the wound aids that come in like a mighty rushing river,
uh-huh.
And says, okay, I'm going to wash over you. God's Word's going to wash over you, and you are going to lift
Woo!
Yourself back up. You're going, you know, He's going to set us on higher ground. You know, God calls us to be mountain movers. He gives us that power through His grace, His love, and His kindness to say, okay, now you go baby step by baby step. You get off of a bike with training wheels. Then you get on the big bike, and you're thinking, oh, my Lord. You're stepping out. You've had milk. Milk is what we speak of, is when we become maybe baby Christians. And, you know, we get milk. It's just enough that, you know, just to keep us satisfied. But once we grow in the Word,
right.
We want something more.
Oh, yeah.
We hunger for it. And that's what God is so good about, is feeding us when we need it. He helps us when we're hurt. His kindness extends above anything that I can even imagine, you know, in my so many odd years of life, is that God has never left me. He's never forsaken me. But He's also given me the space to step out and say, okay, I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to step outside of my comfort zone, and I'm going to see what happens. Well, that's where God's hand's reaching out to you and going, okay, come on, Betty Lou, come on, you can do this. I mean, He's an encourager.
So you're saying when we're going through these growing pains, so to speak, and we're learning that God's Word can be trusted, that God's promises are true, that God backs up what He says to us, when we are beginning to learn that that we can have authority in the name of Jesus over demonic spirits, over bad stuff that happens, when we begin to get that down on the inside of us, we are being treated in kindness, Angel?
Yes.
Explain that. Betty's explaining it, so you explain it too.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. I think of it, you know, God's our, you know, like a parent to us in a way. And, you know, and when we're parenting our kids, you know, there's a couple kinds of parents. There's a kind of parent that they don't let their kids, you know, make those natural things. They save them from it constantly, right? And what are they doing ultimately? I deal with it in the counseling room. They are stunting their growth as they become adults because they've never learned how to handle something. And then you have the parents who are there, but they're letting them feel the pain of their choices or their mistakes and learn through it. And those are adults that learn to become adults, those kids. And that's what God's doing us. He's not crippling us.
He's not a helicopter parent.
He's not a helicopter parent. And
explain that.
You know, where he's hovering over us and controlling every move we make. He is, you know, he is around us. You know, I always say the furthest he can ever be is an arm's length away because I'm the only one who can push him away. And he's there, but he is giving us that freedom to learn to trust him, to learn from, you know, the things, our mistakes, our choices, whatever, so that we can become mature through him.
So it's a kindness to us when we go through things we don't understand because something good comes from it.
Absolutely.
That old song is coming to me right now, the old Gaither song, something beautiful, something good, all my confusion he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of my life. That old song, I mean, so often we feel that we're in that state of brokenness, strife. The wind is beating us up. We have no idea how we're going to get out of this latest problem. And God says, I'm being kind to you, my child. Whoa. God is love. Kindness is love in action. Okay? It's love being shown to us. Let's do this song. And then we will talk more in just a minute. It is Hallelujah by the group Mike's Chair.